Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast, episode 171, Decision 2020. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I am proud to announce that the 23 Personnel Podcast will be a complete and total election coverage podcast this evening. All we're going to discuss is early voting results. We're going to look at maps. We're going to talk about these maps. You will not be able to see these maps, but we're going to talk about them. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to dive into politics with you. I mean, we'll probably talk tech sports first, so it may trail at the end, but all right, I'm ready.
You know what I'm most excited about? Reading off names of counties, you have no idea what they are, where they are. Their political leanings in the 2016 election, or 2012, or 2008, 2004. But we're here to bring you the election analysis. You know what, guys? News alert. Breaking. Too close to call. From New Mexico. 0% Biden. 0% Trump. Okay. No votes reporting. Okay. Too soon to call.
It's a call. Too soon to call. Okay. Oh, all right.
Thanks for breaking that in.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for that update, Spencer. We really needed that. And we'll be providing these as we get them from my producer through the speakers here. We have a very world-class producer who always keeps us in the loop on the most up-to-date political election coverage. We're always ears to the ground and ready to serve you, the listener.
Yeah.
So let's get going, man.
I can't tell you how many times I've had the election stuff turned on for like an hour and a half, maybe at the house, if that. I can't tell you how many times they've broken in too close to call with zero precincts reporting. It's like, well, great. Thanks for bringing me that.
Well, that's not even the correct way to say it. It's just not enough information to call. It's like, it's not close. We don't even know if it's close. Zero.
All right. For apolitical sports only content, follow us over on Twitter at 23 Personnel, at Puntsuck, which is me, Spencer, and at Michael_LBK. Michael, I know we'll talk about this and what we learned, but I had somebody claim that I was hiding behind an anonymous account. I was like, it's a podcast, so it's a show, but we also lead off every single episode by saying, follow me, Spencer, at Puntsuck.
Well, and this person who we will discuss later claimed to be a listener. You figure if they're devoted listeners, then they would know that we rattle off our what do you call them? Handles. CB handles. I went back to
CB
Smokey and the Bandit days, but that's what they are. So we rattle them off before the beginning of every show. So they should know that.
But, you know, I hide behind an anonymous podcast account.
Do you?
You can also follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com. Or open up the Instagram app. Don't go to Instagram.com. That's stupid. Open up Instagram. Go to the show, 23 Personnel Podcast. If you do want to open up a website, I suggest you open up teespring.com. Go grab you one of the most comfortable hoodies you will ever wear. teespring.com/stores/23personnel podcast. We've got all the hoodie colors and logo options for you to choose. It is flirting with hoodie season. It's hoodie season again. Election season, it's, man, most comfortable I've ever worn. And as always, if you want to catch us on the radio, Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on Rob Bro's College Tailgate Show. KKAM.com, Talk 1340, ESPN 960, Talk 1340 mobile app. You can catch myself, Michael, with host Rob Bro. It is his show.
Definitely his show. Always glad to be a part of it. It's just fun to get to hang out with Rob for a couple hours every Saturday.
Oh, it is a blast. We have more basketball news. So we'll talk about some Big 12 and Texas Tech basketball. And obviously bring you football news, roster, injury updates, updates on our tragic numbers, our secondary performances, look around the Big 12, and then give you our TCU preview. Guys, the wait is over. Football is in full effect. Many teams strutting their stuff. Our Kansas City Chiefs, our man Patrick Mahomes. My goodness, we didn't deserve it. Like, there's so many things about him that are just perfect. you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals, team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. Yeah, I suggest we start off with basketball. What do you say, Michael?
Pitter patter.
Here comes Stevenson. Spins. Out! And it is stepped back by the freshman sensation Smith.
Pass over the top of Bornick and a crowd stripped by Owens. Moretti on the run. Bounce pass. Here's Culver.
Evans.
Yes! Game over.
Mooney with a crossover and the lob.
Now the shot clock is at three. Mooney spins, fires. Oh, he got it to go. Edwards with a three. Good. What a shot, Kyler Edwards. Moretti double into Tariq. Owens, who puts it down. Moretti. Odiasi. Crowbars it in. Shot clock down to five. Got the screen. Here's a three. Good.
Culver got the separation.
A new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
All right. The Big 12 preseason poll did come out this week. Texas Tech picked to finish entirely too low at number five.
Yeah, the point system. Okay, Baylor came in at number one, Kansas number two. Baylor had seven first place votes. Kansas had three, is how I read that. Mm-hmm. And so they respectively had 79 and 73 points in the poll. West Virginia at 61, Texas at 58, Texas Tech at 53. So,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
according to the pollsters, 3 to 5 are really close.
Yeah, within 8 points.
Yeah, you know, I don't see it. I had someone remark to me on Twitter, and I don't necessarily disagree with them, that they feel that Texas, or that Tech, is one of the top five teams in the country, maybe. But this could go on to, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe this isn't so crazy. I obviously think that Texas being ranked above Tech is, it leaves a lot to be desired for me. I don't see the reasoning behind it. I guess because they had a more stable roster transition from the last season than Tech did. Tech was kind of mediocre last year. Not mediocre, but they weren't setting the world on fire. I really wish they would have gotten to play each other in that Big 12 tourney game and just kind of get another chance at them. But I'm not seeing all the love there, but it does comfort me a little bit to know that they were only 5 points ahead of Tech. So I'm not going to get too worked up over it. You know, what are your overall thoughts on it?
Well, first, let me give you my thought on the Texas bit. They still have Shaka Smart. I don't know why they're fourth.
He's great. They love him. The Texas fans absolutely love him. He's the best thing to happen to their program. They never talk about firing him. They want to build a statue.
Shaka Smart may be the best thing for Texas for the rest of the conference, keeping them
concur
from competing where they should be. If you are a reader, an avid reader over at Staking the Plains, you saw there's an article today that Seth published Tuesday on Mac McClung and the Texas Tech roster. He wraps it up talking about the T rankings. It's one of Seth's favorite analytic websites. But their numbers project Texas as the best team in the country. West Virginia is the second best. Baylor the fifth. Texas Tech the sixth. Kansas the 12th. If the Big 12 really has 5 teams in the top 12 of the country, and 3 of the top, sorry, 4, the top 6.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what I was trying to decide, if this poll really matters that much, if it's true that the Big 12 basketball is, and they have been, one of the best conferences in the country for the last 3 or 4 years, would you say? A lot of it has to do with Tech's rise. West Virginia has always had good teams. Go ahead, say what?
No, I was going to say, like, the rise. I mean, when West Virginia joined the conference, that they were a pretty strong addition in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Texas has been pretty good, and then it's always been Kansas. But it feels like Baylor and Texas Tech coming on. Iowa State, every now and then, will jump up. Oklahoma had a pretty competitive year last year. As good as we thought Tech was, they finished 500 in the conference, which I think says more about the conference being strong than Texas Tech being down. I mean, Baylor won, like, what did we say, like 20 games in a row last year?
Yeah.
West Virginia is
unstoppable.
I mean, sneaky, underrated, good team that, like, isn't pulling in the 5-star recruits, but could be competing for at least a conference title. Kansas picked, I mean, in the Big 12 poll, second, which is kind of a surprise, a shock to me, because they're like Oklahoma in football. They always win it, it feels like. But yeah, so this upcoming season, I think, one, with how competitive and how strong the rest of the conference is, at least the top half, it's really fascinating and interesting for me to see that Texas Tech may have its most complete and talented roster, maybe ever.
Yeah, it keeps happening. I feel like we have the same conversation for the last 3 years. And I guess we should finish off by the bottom five. It's kind of a pretty good drop from there. Texas Tech, of course, at fifth with 53 points. Oklahoma sixth with 39. So pretty good drop from fifth to sixth. Following them at 7 is Oklahoma State, then Iowa State, TCU at 9, and Kansas State at 10 in the conference. I don't tend to get worked up on preseason polls because I can't, considering how much I like to make fun of them. So it's something I like to reference later and look back on and say, gosh, how wrong were we? Including the year that I think Tech was picked fourth the year they went to the national title game. You know, nobody knows.
So weren't they lower than that, like seventh or ninth?
They may have. Or TCU was picked above them. Maybe TCU was fourth.
Whatever
it was. I always notice when TCU's picked above Tech because it bothers me. That does bother me.
Jamie Dixon. Wow. What a job, man. What a job.
He totally didn't want to move to California. Not at all. That was
He wanted to stay in TCU for forever. Other news.
It's like Shaka Smart, build the statue.
Other news in the Texas Tech basketball. Transfer guard Mac McClung received his eligibility waiver. I think we kind of hinted at that a minute ago. Every chance anybody got, we tweeted at the NCAA. It was time to grant McClung's waiver. They came through. So everybody that transferred in is eligible this year. Even Jamari Spurton, who I think was the longest of shots. I think the staff was expecting him to not receive it or at least be able to redshirt. But he'll be eligible. Obviously, and Tomboy sat out his year. Tyreek Smith will be back from an injury / redshirt. McClung transferring in. The grad transfer, Marcus Santos Silva from VCU. And then, of course, you've got the loaded roster of returning talent, right? You've got Kyler Edwards. I'm going to blank on everybody's name.
You're good. You've got Nadalny.
Terrence Shannon.
Yep.
Who's the other?
Kevin McCullough, who I'm really excited about.
And Tomboy, like I said.
Yeah. McCullough was really coming on at the end of the season last year. And just kind of, he's one of those guys that seems quiet. I don't know if he is. I obviously don't know him personally. But he just seems like one of those kind of quiet assassin types that's just going to be down there. He's going to out-rebound you. He's going to make great shots, good passes. He's long and lean. He's a fun player. I don't want to say most excited to see him this season, but it's up there.
Yeah. So let me go through the roster real quick, tell you who all's here and who all has eligibility. Guards, you've got Kyler Edwards, Clarence Ndoli, freshman Namari Burnett, junior do everything blue collar worker Avery Benson, and then transfers Jamarius Burton and Mac McClung. Your forwards, Terrence Shannon, Kevin McCullough, freshman Micah Peavy,
yes,
who played with Jamias Ramsey in high school. Gosh, I've blanked on his first name for a second. And then you got Joel and Tomboy, who sat out last year. Tyreek Smith, who sat out last year with an injury / redshirt. And freshman Chibuzo Agbo, Marcus Santos Silva. And then your 7'1" center, Vladislav Golden.
I heard one of the local radio guys mention this recently, and it's a great point. You don't list yourself as 7'1" unless you're 7'1".
Yeah.
You know, that's not like a rounding up thing. This isn't a guy that's 6'11". This is a guy that's 7'1" tall.
He's 80. He's
a 240-pound freshman. Yeah, he's lean and mean, but, you know, that's strength and training staff. The results we've seen from them over the last several years have been phenomenal. So he will definitely bulk up in the hands of those professionals.
Yeah, stands 85 inches tall off the ground.
We need a big guy, man. I mean, that's one thing that seems to have always, not always, but seems to have plagued Tech. I think that was definitely a weakness for them last year. But, you know, with Ntomboy and Tyreek Smith both on the bench at 6'8 and 6'7", those guys would have been helpful. And having them back will obviously be huge. And then if we need a 7'1" center out there every now and then, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, for sure. And then of course he's not the tallest guy at 6'7", Marcus Santos Silva, but I mean, he was ridiculously efficient grabbing rebounds, crashing the boards. Which is surprising at his size. You know, like he's a forward sized player, but I mean, he was doing everything for VCU. And I think the last thing we have is the NBA draft coming up in 2 weeks, the 18th.
Yeah. I kept thinking, oh, we need to talk about the draft, and I'll wait till it gets closer. Then all of a sudden it's November And so the draft is only 2 weeks away, really. So we'll see where Ramsey lands. Hopefully he'll get a good spot on a solid team, get a chance to make that roster. I think his draft stock's been all over the place, so I'm not even going to go into it. But probably when we get closer to it, we'll talk a little bit more about it. It's obviously not making the rounds of popular news at the moment is NBA draft stock right now.
Yeah, I mean, with the finals being over, I think everybody's kind of taking a break. I just learned that Jamias Ramsey and I share a birthday, June the 9th. Although I'm 12 years older than this man is.
Don't worry about that. That's just numbers.
It's just a number. So yeah, we'll look forward to seeing where Ramsey goes. Joining out. Who else in the NBA?
Jared Culver,
Matt Mooney's out there. Tariq Owens.
Is Mooney still out there?
I believe he's on some roster.
I know Odiase was at one point as well.
Odiase, yep. Keenan Evans in the G League at least.
Yes.
So, anyways,
last I heard, yes.
And what's his name? The freshman from 2 years ago.
Oh my gosh. How are we blanking on him? We're totally blanking on him. Oh, this is so embarrassing. The 360, the kid who did the 360 dunk in Dallas at the.
And all I can think of is Josh, and it has nothing to do with Josh.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Hey, can we just cut this out? We'll just cut this out. No one will ever know, right?
Is it Zach? Zach Evans?
No, that's not him.
Zach Smith. No. Was the other guy? This is terrible, Dan. I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh, people are just screaming. Zaire Smith.
I knew there was a shared name in there somewhere. All right,
man.
Now that we've embarrassed ourselves,
that's terrible.
Let's move on and talk football.
They go four up top. They throw the fade to Fasher. Caught, touchdown.
With time, delivered.
Picked off, DeMarcus Fields down the sideline, touchdown, Red Raiders, 97 yards.
Harrell back to throw, going deep down the sideline for Robert Johnson.
And he
got it, touchdown, Red Raiders. Robert Johnson, touchdown, Red Raiders.
Take a shot to the end zone. It's a touchdown to Reginald Davis.
All day to throw, over the top, Jakeem Grant. Texas Tech.
Second down now. Deep strike. Got the big man. Crabtree. Pulls free. And touchdown. Red Raiders with a second to go.
Let the scoring begin.
All right. I think we'll start with roster / injury updates. I did see that there are no, as of the last testing report, no active cases among the football team or staff.
Woohoo! That's great news.
It's good news.
Way to go.
Although you did have some players miss time versus Oklahoma. Sir Roderick Thompson, I heard, was more of a re-injury or just re-aggravated his chest injury. Tony Bradford. Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. That game was such a blur of awfulness that I kind of forgot that he came in, and he rushed what, four times?
Sure.
I think it was four. It wasn't much, but it just surprised me that he came in at all with how well Brooks was handling everything. And especially if he was even iffy at all. So just, sorry, back to Tony Bradford.
No, you're good. Defensive lineman Tony Bradford apparently went down in pregame warmups, did not participate. And then Weston Wright, all three of those guys, offensive lineman Weston Wright, all three are considered day-to-day. We'll see how they progress and if they make their trip out to Fort Worth, Texas Tech East. And then guys that you were hoping to hear back from, hoping to see on the field, but didn't, TJ Vasher, Xavier White, and Krishan Merriweather all did not play. But if they were held out for COVID reasons, the update we got was that there were no active cases, so they could be making the return back if it was a health reason. If not, well, sorry, we know Xavier White was an injury. TJ Vasher, we assumed may have been COVID related, but it wasn't ever confirmed. And then I don't think I heard anything about Krishan Merriweather.
No, I think he was injured at the end of the West Virginia game because he came out at the end of that game. So that's all I know on that, but I did not see what the injury was or if that was even released. Wouldn't surprise me either way.
Yeah. All right. So I did a little research today on our tragic number, the one that we've been kind of quoting, and I updated it. I only looked back at Matt Wells's record versus Big 12 teams, his Big 12 record. In a season and a half, he's played 14 Big 12 games. Michael's holding his nose. He is 3-11. Texas Tech is 3-11 versus Big 12 teams under Matt Wells. Those three teams, or I guess the three wins, it's actually two teams. You have one victory over Oklahoma State, question mark, and then two over West Virginia. So I feel like we can kind of, you can start to put the trend together as Matt Campbell has come on for Iowa State and had that record over Texas Tech. Maybe Matt Wells has this record over Neil Brown in West Virginia. But 2-0 versus West Virginia. Other thing to note, important here, Michael pointed out, you were 0-1 versus the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yes, I felt that number needed to be included just to complete the tragic number stats.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not through his second season, and he has yet to play Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State, or Kansas this season, but Matt Wells' Big 12 win percentage sits at a paltry 27%. Not good.
Okay, speaking of not good, I have a TTU secondary update. Texas Tech has joined a group of 102 other teams, so 103 teams have played. The Pac-12 is getting ready to kick off on Friday, I guess. I think they're going to have some games Friday.
I think Stanford, Oregon plays this weekend. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah. And then USC and one of the Arizonas. I can't remember which one.
Arizona State on the 7th at 11. So that's Saturday morning.
Oh, man. I love Pac-12 football so much. So I've missed it and am ready. But as of now, there's 103 FBS teams that have played. Texas Tech is 99th of 103.
Ooh.
With passing yards allowed per game at 339.2, bumped up a couple yards after playing the Sooners, and not surprisingly. Previously, it was 337.8 per game. And, of course, after playing the Sooners, it's 339.2. They allowed – I mean, it was bad. Let's just say that. But it wasn't – what cost you the game? I don't think. Like I said, on the instant reaction, it boils down to that little 42-0 run. That was really with the nail in the coffin.
That was a critical moment of the game.
Those 42 or those 6 minutes of game time where Tech gave up 21 in a row was probably the first nail. And then the additional 21 after that was that was the second nail, and it's only a 2-0 coffin. I know y'all were wondering, well, what kind of coffin is this? Is this one of those coffins with like 40 nails? Like, nah, this is just two. You don't expect anybody 40, to get out.
That's 42 nails.
Yeah. All I mean, why nail the hell out of a coffin when it's going to stay shut? So that's the update on the Tech secondary.
Yeah. Okay. So really quick, going back to the Pac-12 schedule on the 7th. Arizona, Utah, Arizona State, USC, UCLA, Colorado. Like, it's a full schedule. UCLA, Colorado, Stanford, Oregon, Washington, Cal, Washington State, Oregon State. It's a pretty good opening weekend.
Are any of those Pac-12 after darks?
Two of them. Washington, Cal kicks off at 9:30 Central Time. Washington State, Oregon State kicks off at 9:30. So those games will be wrapping up, 1 a.m. Central Time.
I can't wait to fall asleep on the couch halfway through the second quarter.
Okay, but get this, that Arizona State USC game is 11 a.m. Central, which means local time, that's a 9 a.m. kickoff for them.
They've got to get some eyeballs, man.
Finally getting on board, playing a normal schedule, but that means that they're going to have football on like 14 hours of the day for their conference. Like, it will go 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Sunday morning.
All Pac-12 all the time.
All right. All right. That's enough Pac-12 talk. No, it's not enough Pac-12 because now we can talk about the AP top 25. And there's some Pac-12 participants.
I did want to mention, I made a prediction, I think, in our message chat with Rob Bro, host of Rob Bro's College Football Tailgate.
Friend of the show, Rob Bro.
Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 12 on Talk 1340 a.m. Lubbock. Okay, so I made a prediction that after Clemson had a lackluster performance against Boston College with their backup quarterback, that Clemson would drop out. They would no longer be the number one team, because I have a feeling that everyone has a personal agenda to get Alabama number one and Ohio State number two. And I was not correct, but I thought that Alabama would be, I know it was close.
Not far off.
It was a lot closer than I thought it ended up being, because I just looked at the rankings first and Clemson's still one. Alabama's two, Ohio State's still three.
But the points that they rank these off, Clemson has 1,515 points. Good for first place. Alabama has 1,513 points. They are 2 points behind out of 1,500.
I almost predicted that they were going to drop because they didn't win as convincingly as everyone thought they should. And they almost did. They almost dropped to number two.
Yeah.
Of course, Alabama did skunk a conference opponent. So it's not like they played a bad game.
Hold on. Let's not withhold the name of the team they skunked. Mississippi State.
That's true.
41-0.
There could be some ties to Texas Tech there, but it's not ties. Worth mentioning.
I think... Like, it may have been that Clemson didn't perform as well as they would have, obviously, without Trevor Lawrence. But also they announced Trevor Lawrence will be out their next game versus Notre Dame, which is a big deal because Notre Dame is fourth. And if he's out, Notre Dame's able to win this game, sets Notre Dame up to win their one and only ACC conference championship. Both are undefeated. Both are in the top five. Ohio State holding strong there at number three at 2-0. Cincinnati Bearcats, number six. A&M has worked their way up. BYU cracks into the top 10. I saw some people already like mad at the playoff committee for snubbing Cincinnati and or BYU not being able to make it into the playoffs. It's true. I mean, they're not going to make it.
I kind of wonder, Brigham Young has, I don't know why I called him Brigham Young, but nobody calls him that. Anyway, but BYU has pummeled opponents this year.
I think they have one of the highest scoring margins outside of like Clemson.
I'm surprised that it took this long for them to crack the top 10 in this weird year. I think voters were just they were like me with Cincinnati. They were just refusing to believe that the Cougars had it going, and wow, they are steamrolling people.
Now, as an independent, they get to set their own schedule. And this is a weird year that they have to
play who they can.
So their schedule this year has been Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, UTSA, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky so far.
Yeah.
This is like a bad Sun Belt conference schedule.
Yeah, because we are not allowed to make fun of the Sun Belt at all.
No.
Anymore. And you'll see why in a few more spots.
But then they do play Boise State on Friday night, which is a top 25 ranked matchup. They are ninth. Boise State's 21st. Then they play North Alabama, snooze, and San Diego State, who was good a few years ago. So yeah. On their schedule, they had, I mean, the Houston game maybe, and then this Boise State game.
Houston's probably on paper. Navy seemed like that would have been a good game, but good Lord.
Navy did not practice tackling leading up to the season. And it showed. Excuse me.
Yes. Yeah. They
just talk on
Tuesday. They were unable to do anything. So I'm not. Anyway, it's just been interesting to watch them. They've been kind of fun. I like that they're ahead of Wisconsin.
1-0 Wisconsin, number 10.
1-0 Wisconsin.
Oh, but get this. 0-0 Oregon, 12th.
Of course they are. The Ducks. I mean, the Ducks have had a great year. They've really off seasoned. They jumped up two spots, Spencer. They were 14 last week. They're really happy for them.
Indiana. They are. I mean, they're rolling after that win against Penn State in week one. I think they played Rutgers this past weekend. Oklahoma State dropped from 6 to 14 after losing at home to Texas. Did you see their video board when Texas was attempting a field goal or an extra point?
Yes.
Flashing, moving vertical yellow bars that lined up in the kicker's eye with the uprights.
I didn't know they were moving.
Yeah.
I just thought they were there. I just thought it was a series of vertical lines. Okay. For those of you,
the video of it, I don't know if it's the refresh rate because of the screen and the cameras on whatever. But they also are moving. Like they're like moving to the side. Like if you haven't seen it, Oklahoma State has that big video board in one of their end zones. And it's in line with the uprights for the field goal. And Texas was attempting a field goal or an extra, I can't remember which, late in the game. And they had this graphic up with, it was a black screen with vertical yellow bars that were moving while Texas was attempting the kick. Not sure how that's legal. Not sure.
I bet it's not after this. And I don't like them, but I respect that. That was pretty gutsy to come up with something like that. It's kind of, I guess it's the closest you can come up with is if like when fans do crazy stuff behind the basketball goal at a free throw. Oh,
that's fantastic though. Those are fun.
Yeah. But that's never frowned upon. That's encouraged. That's just part of the game. But
those are students acting on their own, not the athletic department programming this into their facilities. Yes. I mean, it'd be like
different ball game.
It'd be like if the Spirit Arena turned off the lights right as the free throw was about to be attempted, like complete black. Oh, you missed it. Oh man, sorry about that.
Or they didn't know that they snuck up the big smoke, or not the big smoke, but the big flame machine behind him at half court, and they just hit that off right as he's taking that second dribble.
He flinches because it's so hot. Anyways, so. That opens the door back up for Iowa State. It's still going to be difficult with a tiebreaker there, but Iowa State has a chance. My Coastal Carolina Chanticleers jumped up to 15.
Sun Belt, Fun Belt, man.
Fun Belt. The aforementioned Iowa State at 17, Oklahoma, mad respect for pummeling Texas Tech, jumped 5 spots.
Yeah. Big road win.
USC jumped a spot, not having played a game. Texas went from unranked to 22nd. Auburn, Liberty is ranked. You guys, Liberty. Hugh Freeze and the Liberty, one of those Eagles? I don't know. Liberty. Talons. 25th.
I don't know what they are. The Flames. They're the Flames, Spencer.
I should have known that. Anyways, that's our weekly top 25 update.
I know we got really into it this week. That was just, yes. I don't know. It was fun. It's going to be even more fun next week when the Pac-12 finally plays and they all drop out.
Yeah.
Except one maybe.
All the schools like Liberty. I mean, I would think at 6-0 Coastal Carolina will hang on, and a 5-0 Marshall. But like a 2-0 Indiana, Maybe not.
How much has it hurt your feelings to see Penn State go from the top 10 to others receiving votes in 2 weeks?
I couldn't care. They've lost two straight.
Either.
And
I thought that was great. And Indiana, of course, is up there as if they've, oh yeah, of course we knew Indiana was going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, for, like, I hate to say it. Like, if there's going to be a Big 12 school that I would root for, it would be Ohio State. I mean,
a Big 10 school.
That's what I meant. Big 10. I liked Urban Meyer, the way he ran the program. I like their offense. They're really good. That's attractive to me. Penn State. No. Michigan. They've,
you know, what's attractive to me? Lovie Smith with a great white beard. That's what's attractive to me. Okay. So I would root for the Illinois, and I would just get my heart hurt all the time, and it would be nothing out of the ordinary for me. I can handle it.
You mean the Illini?
What did I say?
The Illini. It's fine. I'm just semantics splitting hairs. That's what I do. And I get called out for it because I'm kind of, yeah, that's can be obnoxious. I understand. I get that.
You're fine. No, call me out on mispronouncing stuff because I'm very good at it. I'm prolific.
So let's talk about the Big 12 recap and impressions. Kansas State versus West Virginia. I'm sorry. Kansas State, West Virginia. West Virginia bounces back, makes their defeat in Lubbock look even that more puzzling. 37-10. They really frustrated and confused Kansas State quarterback Will Howard.
You know, those few hours that we had between the end of that game and the beginning of Tech's game against OU were pretty good. Because I got to thinking, you know, West Virginia, maybe they're a pretty good team, and Tech was able to figure them out and move the ball on them. And Kansas State hasn't done anything today. I know they're running their backup quarterback, but hey, so's Tech. So it was kind of a nice, you know, few hours until S hit the F.
Until like 10 minutes into the first quarter. Iowa State picks up a 30-point win at Kansas, 52-22. They put up the second most points in the conference this weekend.
Yeah, that is not a team that I thought would ever score in the 50s.
No. Now, here's what it was like 35 or something in the fourth quarter, and then they scored like those last 17 points real quick on like short fields or turnovers or kicks or something. Because I always say it's not a quick score offense, and they would not have poured it on, you know, three scores in half a quarter against Kansas late unless something else was happening. Like, this is not like Matt Campbell saying, get out there and
run it up.
Make them
try to
forget.
Stop me.
Yeah, no, that's not his MO.
No.
Because we've seen him hold back against Tech. Everybody expects Kansas to lose out. There's no style points and beating up on Kansas. So yeah, TCU at Baylor. This was a strange one because TCU built up a 30, was it 30-0 or 37, 30-7.
It was lead. 30 to zero.
Yeah. 30 yeah,
Baylor
to zero.
Didn't score until about 30 seconds left in the second quarter.
So it was 30-0, almost at halftime. Game ends up 33-23. Baylor made a really interesting game out of it in the second half. I mean, Baylor looks so, so bad in that first half, which gives me a little confidence. But then, I mean, they were able to put 20 points in the second, or sorry, 23 points total. But yeah, like when they were down 30-0, it was like, oof. So maybe TCU is better than we thought. Maybe Baylor's even worse than we thought. That was an interesting game. Texas and Oklahoma State went to overtime. Texas ends up pulling this one out 41-34. Oklahoma State did not look interested in winning this game in overtime.
That's what I kept hearing. We were out running errands and stuff, so I missed the end of that game, and that may have been why I missed the first of four scoring drives of the day.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, for tech with my recording. But yeah, that's what I kept seeing is just Oklahoma State just kind of kept calling weird plays and nothing. They weren't doing anything to help themselves win the game. And what was it? Texas was able to attempt a field goal to go into overtime. Was that it?
Maybe that was
the Oklahoma
kick.
Maybe Oklahoma State had to attempt a field goal to go to overtime. But either way, I just heard it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I was running around too, leading up to the Texas Tech game. And then, of course, Oklahoma at Texas Tech, 62-28. So I want to get into this. It's something I kind of thought up late, and maybe we'll do this every week, or maybe it's just going to be a flop. We're going to do Spencer's hot/cold takes, where I give Michael a take. He tells me if it's hot or cold. So, Michael, you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
I think I've got four here. Okay, here we go. Because they put up more points versus Iowa State, Kansas is a better football team than Texas Tech. Hot or cold?
Okay. Okay, before I go too far into this, just a reminder that Coastal Carolina, a team that we made fun of for beating Kansas, has gone on to win five more, and they are 6-0, currently ranked number 15 in the country. Just throwing that out there, just reminding everyone. But that is a cold take, my friend.
Oh, okay.
That's cold. There's no way Kansas is better than Tech. They just lost their best player.
It's true.
Puka's gone. Puka's gone. I think he would maybe still have a case if Puka was still there, but he's not. And West Virginia just completely destroyed him, and Tech beat West Virginia. So there's my reasoning. That's all I've got.
Counter that really quickly. Without their best player on offense, they put up more points versus Iowa State than Texas Tech did.
Yes, but the game was out of hand, possibly, during some of those scores.
Well, that's when Tech scored their second time, was when the game was out of hand. Anyways, okay. Texas Tech is better this year if you look at the Oklahoma game, because they lost by 34 points this year as opposed to 39 points last year. Is Tech better based on their performance versus Oklahoma? 5 points. If Texas Tech can continue that 5-point trend, it will only take 7 more years to defeat Oklahoma.
Solely by looking at that stat?
Yes.
That is a hot take, my friend.
Yes.
Because OU is a playoff team. Now, granted, it was in Norman last year. Jed Duffy, finally, he didn't get the start, but he got to play. We had the Jackson Tyner experience there for a little bit, but it was, I kind of think you're onto something. We didn't lose as badly, but we lost to a worse team by less.
And we were
at home.
Texas Tech was at home.
I'm still okay. That's still hot. That's a hot take.
Kansas State is way overrated. Look, they just lost to a trash West Virginia team.
They also lost to, who was the first team they played?
Arkansas State.
Arkansas State. That's a hot take. Yes. I hate to agree with it because I want them to be good. I like Kansas State, but they are way overrated right now, or I guess they were leading up to the West Virginia game. And I think it's a lot to do with quarterback play. It's unfortunate, but it's true. I think Thompson, people took for granted what he was able to do back there. And now they're realizing that he was not a game manager. I hate when people use that term, but he was just able to move the football.
He was a more valuable quarterback than he got credit for.
Agreed.
Last one. Texas is back. This is all based on this past weekend schedule. They defeated the conference leading Oklahoma State Cowboys on the road.
I'm going to say Texas is back as a cold take because I'm going to counter that with, is Oklahoma State that good?
Spencer Sanders is not as good as he, like, as good as they are, it's almost like in spite of Spencer Sanders, which is a strange thing to say. Like, the quarterback of their offense, of their team, is almost like it's hindering them. Because they've got great receivers, and they've got, obviously, a great running back, but, like, he's just not very good.
We wouldn't know how that felt.
No. All right, so I like that. Let's see if I can do that again next week.
All right. I'll roll with you.
All right. So the kickoff time for Baylor. So that's on the 14th, not this weekend versus TCU, but next weekend, set for 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, FS1. Michael, what channel is that on?
That is on your Suddenlink channel 264.
All right.
I made that up. Nobody look that up.
3 p.m. Central.
No matter where you live. If you live in Winnipeg, it's channel 264. It's fine. Just plug it in.
It's a good call out. Home game. After the time change, it'll be a good late afternoon game. This is my favorite time of the year with the late afternoon, early sunset games. Big fan. All right, and then the schedule for this weekend, you've got West Virginia at Texas. Could be a sneaky good game. No?
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know. I'm making a face because it's so hard to tell. I have no idea what West Virginia team's going to show up.
Yeah, 11.
Or what Texas team, for that matter.
11.
Texas can score the football, but sheesh, I have no idea.
Yeah, both teams have been inconsistent about which team shows up. West Virginia at Texas, 11 a.m. on ABC. Game of the week, Kansas at Oklahoma. What do you think that point spread, like without looking, what do you think that point spread is?
It's at Oklahoma. I'm going to say Oklahoma like minus 27 and a half.
Really? I would have gone bigger, like 40.
Do you know what it is?
No, but I'm going to look right now.
Okay. While you're looking, I want to mention that you may have already said, but that game was on ESPN2. I think I read just today that it was flexed to ESPN, and I don't know if flex is the correct term when it's Kansas versus OU.
But why would they get the bump?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what happened with that, but maybe just because it's OU.
I found it. That was close.
What'd you have?
Oklahoma. So I said minus 40 or 42. They have right now, currently, minus 38.
Oh, yeah, you were way closer than me.
Texas Tech at TCU, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. TCU is a home favorite of about 10 points. Oklahoma State on the road, Kansas State. Again, if the right Kansas State team shows up, this could be another sneaky good game. It's another hurdle for Oklahoma State if they're going to be competing for the conference title. Kansas State needs to win this if they want to have any kind of hopes in it, which is difficult saying that because they're relying on a backup freshman quarterback, but yeah, Baylor at Iowa State. After seeing how they struggled at, or versus TCU, this one could be not so much fun for Baylor.
Oh no, I know. We'll talk about this a little bit, but holy cow, did TCU figure out how to run the ball on Baylor?
Yeah.
Iowa State has one of, if not, I mean, I know we're talking close with Chuba Hubbard and everybody. Puka's gone. So Iowa State may have the best running back in the Big 12, not named Chuba Hubbard. maybe just the best running back in the Big 12 period.
Yeah, I would, without looking at their stats, I'd say Breece Hall has to be at least 1A, you know, if not like a clear number one, which I don't think there would be. He's at least up there with Chuba Hubbard.
Yep, I would agree with that.
All right, before we do the TCU preview, Michael, did you have anything else?
I did. Oh, I wanted to remind you guys that the wait is finally over. It feels like we've been saying this every week for the last 6 or 8 weeks.
It's because sports have been coming back slowly, but surely.
But it's true.
With baseball coming back in July, the NBA, NFL, college football.
NHL came and went somewhere during that.
The Stanley Cup. You know, Stanley Cup hockey. Was won by Tampa.
Yeah, apparently my home state team was in the Stanley Cup. I'm convinced that the only people I've ever met that enjoy and watch and are fans of the Stars grew up in Dallas.
I was one.
You were one. Are you? But do you? Are you a fan of the Stars?
As much as a hockey fan as I am, it's only because I was exposed to the Stars winning the Stanley Cup when I was like 9 or 10 years old.
There you go. That's my point.
And they brought the Stanley Cup to my elementary school, so I got to go up and see it and touch it. So it's really cool.
I have yet to meet anyone who watches hockey in person.
Oh no.
That didn't grow up in Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm not, my friends in Abilene, we were not Dallas Stars fans at Merkel High School. So anyway,
so much, so many other things to watch.
Yeah. We were too busy watching other stuff. Football's in full effect. Many teams are strutting their stuff. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and teams, totals to player and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use promo code ARMCHAIR, that's ARMCHAIR, to take advantages of all of the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Guys, listen up. Manscaped released a new product, the Weed Whacker. It's a nose and ear hair trimmer. Michael, I have to confess something to you.
Yes.
I felt so old this week. I bought a generator and I used a nose hair trimmer. I've reached full adulthood.
I've used a nose hair trimmer for years.
And let me tell you, man, this first week has been quite an adjustment. Like, there's nothing there. No booger traps.
Notice on a cold day.
Yeah, just breathing in cold air. Guys, take a look in the mirror. And I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as everywhere else. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This device has their proprietary skin-safe technology, which you can find also on their Lawnmower 3.0. If you check out Manscaped.com. You can find all of their great products, the Weed Whacker, the Lawnmower, their nails kit. Yeah. Deodorants, testy toners, colognes, boxers, all good stuff. And guys, as a listener of the show, or girls, if you want to buy it for yourself or your man, as a listener of the show, you get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Right. Let's get into quickly the TCU preview. So TCU is 2-3 on the season. They have the strangest 2-3 record, Michael.
Yes.
Which you found this out. They are 2-0 on the road and 0-3 at home.
And the 2-0 on the road, one of them includes at Darryl K. Royal, which is supposed to be really hard to play in, I would imagine, even in COVID years. Of course, that's the only way Tech can beat Texas, too, is DKR. Awesome. So yeah. What do I know? Yeah. But 2-0 on the road, they're both of their wins at Texas and Baylor, and then 0-3 at home, like you mentioned, including a very close 34-37 loss to Iowa State. a 14-21 loss to Kansas State, and a 14-33 loss to Oklahoma. So a respectable loss against Oklahoma, but of course, Oklahoma's been kind of up and down this year. So I feel like we say that about every single team. There's no clear front runner in the Big 12. It's fun as a fan. It's kind of disheartening as a fan of a certain team, but it's just as a guy who's not tied to conference success, this has just kind of been a fun year. So I'm not sure what to think of that. You know, going into this game, it kind of seems like they're due for a home win, if you ask me.
Yep.
And that kind of may be where I'm headed this week. I'm still unsure on it. Dugan Duggan has done enough to, you know, keep his team going. You've got some good stats here. He's 94 of 138, 68% passing. They obviously don't ask him to do a lot.
I mean,
he's passed 138 times in five games.
Yeah, he's only, you know, completed passes or passed for 1,000 yards in five games. So he's barely eking out 200 yards a game. Five games, five touchdowns. So their offense is not through the air.
No. And Baylor found that out firsthand because TCU rushed for 285 yards last week against Baylor. They averaged 5.6 yards per carry. Devin Barlow is a grown man. He's just a freshman, but he's 5'11", 204. He put down 117 yards himself. Now, that is skewed a little bit because one of his carries was for 74 yards, but the thing to kind of look at for the way TCU was able to move the ball, Zach Evans, another running back that came in, DeMarco Foster came in. Both of those guys, Evans had a run for 33. Foster had a run for 10. Duggan had a run for 13. I mean, they were gashing Baylor with the running game.
Fantastic autoplay ads. Love it. Trying to look at some stats.
I was kind of worried about that because I thought, you know, I haven't looked up Tech's run defense this year in a while because fortunately, it hasn't been too terrible. I think they did allow quite a bit against OU, but I think they're in the 50s. They were 57 or so. So that's kind of right in the middle of the pack on run defense. Not the worst thing you would expect, but I think TCU will be able to expose what weaknesses Tech has on the run defense. And that may be kind of an anomaly this week. They may be able to run 250 on Tech. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it's so strange to think like, because as long as I've known TCU football, they've been a pass heavy team.
Oh yeah. And
they've got really talented running backs, and that's not unusual. They've usually had like one really good guy. Whether it was the five-star transfer from Nebraska, Green. Now it's Zach Evans, who's a five-star recruit that they got out of high school. They are just really good on the ground this year. When they do go to the air, I mean, they've got three receivers that they have one, like, number one target. His name is Ty Barber. I don't know if it's Tay. It's probably Ty. 24 catches for 254 yards, good for 10, a little over 10 yards, 10.6 yards per catch, two touchdowns. Quentin Johnston, 12 catches for 224 yards, almost 19 yards per catch, one touchdown. Blair Conright, 13 catches, 184 yards, 14 yards per catch, one touchdown. If it's not one of those three guys, it's going to be on the ground. And if it's going to be on the ground, I mean, they've got, like I said, those two good running backs, and then Dugan Duggan is also an efficient runner.
Yes, and he takes good care of the football. I know you had this written down, but I don't think you mentioned it, that he only has one interception on the year.
Which happens when you don't throw it a whole bunch. But, I mean,
yeah, I mean
one interception in 138 attempts is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, Tech had two interceptions in four attempts or whatever that was.
Those were tipped, though. I have a hard time.
I know. I know.
I have a hard time.
I'm not bagging on Columbia. I'm just talking about the luck of it all. It can still bite you. So that was something I was surprised to see because he's been pretty fumble prone in, you know, different years. So that's something that Tech may not be able to rely on, or, you know, I don't know if they have been relying on that anyway, is getting a turnover on defense. But I was surprised to see how well that he had taken care of the football.
Yeah. You want to get to our picks, Michael? The line is at -9 for TCU. So just about 10 points, over under 61.5. I think Tech can keep it close and cover. And I'll say TCU wins by a touchdown or less, like 6 or 7 points.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Tech covers as well. And the two games that TCU won, they scored 33. I'm going to predict that TCU will win. I think they will be able to move the ball on the Red Raiders. Patterson always has an ability to slow down this offense. They're not world beaters right now. This defense, TCU's defense, of course, they've allowed quite a few. You know, they allowed 37 against Iowa State. Of course, that was their first game of the year. They did hold Oklahoma to 33, which I would call a moral victory. But they, you know, they are limiting teams to, I believe it was 370-ish yards. So, you know, if Tech's unable to move the football against these guys, which is possible, then it could be kind of rough. But the games that they won, TCU scored 33 points. So back to what I was saying, I've got TCU winning 33-28, and that would, of course, have Tech covering. I'm taking the under on this as well.
Yeah, I'm also taking the under. I'm taking Texas Tech to cover, but not win. Although I think it's possible. Texas Tech has been fairly good against the run. It does scare me that, like, this might be the week that Dugan Duggan figures it out through the air, or not that he struggles, but that they're able to be effective and efficient enough through the air that if Texas Tech is good enough on the rush defense, that doesn't really matter or affect the outcome of the game. So anyways, I've got TCU winning, like I said, about a touchdown, 31-24.
Pretty close one.
Cause Texas Tech has just not shown its ability to score lots of points. And like you said, when TCU's winning games, it's low 30s. I mean, yes, that's the most they've scored is 34 points.
Yeah, and Tech's defense is still allowing, it's probably above 95% now because they allowed 9 for 9 red zone scores last week. And it was 95% before that game. So they're probably, that probably bumped them up a little bit. So if TCU gets in the red zone, there's a very, very good chance they're going to go ahead and get 3 or 7 on the board.
Yeah. So just for reference sake, I am 5-1 on my picks on the year. Michael is 6-0. Our Red Raiders, of course, are 2-4. We split, on our preseason predictions. I picked a loss. Michael picked a win. This game,
I'm going back on it. Yeah, I'm picking a loss now against TCU right now. So I may change my mind against Baylor next week because I had Baylor penciled in as a loss when we did this in September. So
as did I, but I think Baylor may be up there with Kansas as a very winnable game.
Yep, I think I'm with you.
All right. Let's get on to questions and what we learned.
Now, are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Who's in the box? Oh, what's in the box?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
So, question, Michael.
Yes.
Who is leading the votes in the state of Oregon? I'm kidding.
Oh yeah. I forgot. Oh yeah. Our election coverage. Oh guys, I've done so terrible at this. I don't know, but I can give you the results of the poll that we had earlier today. I put out a poll because in the spirit of election season, I thought this would be an interesting one. Since 2017, Texas Tech football is 5-10 in Big 12 road games, including a TCU win in 2018. And that was an ugly game. Do they win Saturday in Fort Worth? And right now, my friends, there's still 14 hours left on this poll as of this moment. But it is pretty close to it's too close to call.
Too close hours to call. Left.
We've got yes, Texas Tech will win on Saturday at 46.2% and no at 53.8%. So there's quite a few believers out there. I don't blame you. I think it's very close. And I'm not surprised by the point spread, but I think Tech can keep it closer than the 9 that they were favored.
Yeah. We do have a couple questions on this thread. Kyle Lang, is a talent gap between Tech and the better teams in the conference? Is there a talent gap? Sorry, I read that wrong. Is there a talent gap between Texas Tech and the better teams in the conference? I would say absolutely.
Yes.
If so, can transfers bridge the gap until they can get better recruits into the program? No, because I don't think you can reliably count on landing enough talented transfers to make up the difference. You can maybe mask a position or two.
Yeah.
Like
Merriweather and Schuler coming in. Of course, Schuler coming in was a totally different circumstance. You wouldn't get a Colin Schuler coming in probably on a normal year.
But Merriweather's a JUCO transfer. So yeah, more like a traditional, like a JUCO recruit. I don't consider JUCO players transfers as much as I would like a Zach McPherson, who's been, I would say, above average transfer for Texas Tech.
Colin Schuler, Townsend.
I'd say below. Well, I mean, above average. Yeah. In terms of production, I'd say below average. Colin Schuler, I think because of the hype he came in with, and maybe that's because we were involved in that as much as anybody else, hasn't performed on that level. But to be fair, Texas Tech does have a really talented group of linebackers around him. Tyree Wilson, A&M. I mean, he helped fill in for Tony Bradford, but let's consider that he's a talented transfer from a Power 5 program who's a backup for a freshman. So I just
kind of confusing on the defensive side of the ball. You feel like on the offenses to me are more difficult scheme and plays and, you know, kind of where you're supposed to be. Defense is a thing that you should be able to pick up quicker, even in a new system. So that kind of leads me to believe it's ability.
I would say like most defenses, like you're running on the very similar principles that I think are more shared between defensive philosophies than offensive principles. Like every position group, every position, every offense, every player, I think, has a base set of fundamentals you can kind of lean back on. I just think it's more universal philosophy to philosophy on the defensive side than offense, that a guy can come in, this is a cover three play. Great, I got it. Whereas, this is a shotgun mesh concept, but whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Finally, will this staff survive long enough to benefit from their better recruiting classes?
Great question. I have no idea. I don't know anything, but I feel pretty strongly that we will see Matt Wells through the end of next year. And I don't think that's anything's guaranteed beyond that. Aside from his paycheck.
I get that a lot of people were upset this weekend. I don't think the result versus Oklahoma was going to affect his job status, despite what a lot of people were saying or that we're hearing about. But it could be games like against TCU or Baylor or Kansas on the schedule this year that could affect whether or not Matt Wells makes it through year two. I think it's very unlikely anything happens at the end of this year. I think there are too many circumstances that you just can't overlook and say, well, no, you didn't get it done in year two, you're gone. I think the West Virginia win helped tremendously. And then if you can get two more of the four on your schedule, I think you feel pretty, I wouldn't say you feel pretty good, but I think a lot more of the fan base has walked off the ledge of fire Matt Wells now. That would get him another year, another class, more time to develop and recruit. So 3 years of, like, next year, you know, assuming everything like doesn't just completely fall apart this year, this season. I mean, you've got to see a lot more improvement both on the field and from the coaches. Like I think so too.
Just more consistency.
Yeah. Which goes into the next question, which we missed this question or failed to answer it. Our apologies. Red Raider recent man. He asked on Halloween. So this would have been after the Oklahoma game. Legit question: is Yost unhappy in Texas? I don't know him well enough to answer that. Seems like for an offensive guru, his play calling is basic at best. Is he trying to get fired so he can go somewhere else? I don't think anybody actively tries to get fired, because if they don't like the job, they can just resign.
Well, unless you're George Costanza and you drag like the World Series trophy around in your car in the parking lot. But I don't think he may not be happy, but I seriously doubt he's actively trying to get fired. Was he an offensive coordinator before he came to Tech? I thought that he kind of stepped down for a little bit after he left Utah State. Wasn't there kind of a period where he coached receivers somewhere? Or
yeah, he was at Missouri, Washington State, Oregon, but I think they were all like position coaches. I think they were either quarterback or wide receiver coaches, but not offensive coordinator.
Yeah. So there could be something to, you know, maybe take it a few years off from that, from those duties. He may not have caught back up yet. I'm not sure, but yeah, I don't know. I doubt he's trying to get fired, or, but who knows if he's happy or not.
All right. Hot take question coming in from Robert at RP Texan. There's a reason Bowman was QB1 for 3 season opening games. I think, this is what he's saying, I think Tech is better with Bowman starting. If his ankle is healthy, assuming it is, should Bowman be starting?
No.
I don't think the inefficiency we've seen on offense was injury related, because that preceded his injury. I think we saw enough offensive ineffectiveness before he went down versus Kansas State to say that was a health reason.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not so sure about that, because he did. I mean, Houston Baptist was not great. That was first game of the year. You can kind of talk some of that away. He played well for probably 3/4 of the game against Texas. But yes, I mean, his really bad game was when he came back with that ankle may have still been bothering him. But I don't think that, on the counterpoint of this, that we can look at what happened Saturday and think that Bowman playing that game would have changed a whole lot.
No, I don't think.
That's where my head goes.
I don't think there would have been a change in the outcome of the game if there was a different quarterback than Columbia starting. Now, we did see a significant, at least, look in the offense when Columbia was in. We backed it up with stats, and we said, you know, it makes no sense why Columbia's not playing. But yeah, I mean, you then have to go back. It's like, well, what were we not seeing that kept Bowman as the starter in practice or scrimmages or whatever it was? Whereas, you know, we've got Columbia that has more experience in the system, was recruited by Matt Wells and his staff previously, and yet didn't get more of a shot at starting than he did. So I tend to think it's more mental, like it's a long-term, it health related, but I think it's more mental than physical. Like, I don't think it's a physical body part keeping Bowman from being a better quarterback, but I think it may be psychological in that, like, he's not able to go out there 100% thinking the next hit could end my career.
Sure.
And right. this is Spencer projecting, not anything I've ever heard from him or being reported on. So, all right, Michael, let's wrap this up with, well, hold on. I assume that was the last question. I didn't even look.
Yes, that was the last one.
All right. Let's get to what we learned.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right. Michael.
Yes.
This is much more what we learned, but I have a question. This is a philosophical, not even philosophical. Going back in the way back time machine, this is when I need Clint's time machine. Roll this back to Spencer on Twitter, 2010.
Okay.
What were we doing where we could have been misconstrued as eating up Tommy Tuberville's championship barbecue sauce?
I don't know. I did not have Twitter until, I'll have to check, 2013, I think, was when I finally created one. And so I was not tweeting about Tommy Tuberville on Twitter.
So we had an interaction this weekend during the game. It started during the game. There's a local individual that tweeted out that there should be a collect call, which there's plenty to dissect there. Making collect calls from Lubbock to Mount Vernon. Now, if you're not familiar with who or what is in Mount Vernon, Art Briles finally landed a coaching job, and it's at Mount Vernon High School.
This is second year, I believe.
I believe so. And I think they're doing pretty, I think they're 6-0 or 7-0 on the year. So props, sure. Way to go, Coach Art Briles. But the implication there was that Texas Tech should fire Wells and go after Art Briles right then in the middle of the Oklahoma game. So I responded and said, hey, you know, if this is your take, well, no, I quote you. It's like, if this is your take, maybe you should reconsider. I can't remember exactly my words. I'm not going to go look it up because we had enough back and forth that it's going to be further down than I care to scroll. But then he goes on to say that fans like me, or that I was clamoring for more Tommy Tuberville and his championship barbecue sauce. I have no idea what that reference means, to be honest. And that I want a decade more of really crappy football. And no, if he'd been paying any attention, I've probably been more on the side of firing Matt Wells than anybody in our group. Because I want to get better. Now, would I want a Tuberville 2.0? Not necessarily, unless he can bring in some really great coordinators. Because the one thing Tommy Tuberville was good at was recruiting really, really top talented classes. Part of that was with Robert Prunty, who was not a very good position coach, but as a recruiter, top notch. Prunty was able to land some really great recruits. You had your best recruiting classes under Tuberville. You had guys like Amaro, Kenny Williams, DeAndre Washington, Jakeen Grant, Bradley Marquez, guys that have gone on to have professional playing careers recruited under Pepperville. And I think that we saw his talent under Cliff Kingsbury was a pretty good team in 2012 until it wasn't. So anyways, my point is, I don't know where he got off and saying, I wanted more Tommy Tuberville, except I would want a Tuberville level recruiter with somebody that can put all that together on the field, which we haven't seen since Leach, who was also not a good recruiter.
Right. And we may be seeing our best recruiter since Tuberville, at least as a head coach. Matt, it's still too early to tell for sure.
Well,
he has recruited very, very well.
Early returns, yes, he's a better recruiter than Kingsbury.
Yes. Kind of a low bar, and you know I love my guy. But especially those last few years. So yeah, that was what we learned. We learned that if you criticize someone for insinuating that Lubbock should be calling Art Briles to come save the football team, that they will immediately assume that you want nothing but more Tommy Tuberville years. Or we should call him actually Senator Tommy Tuberville.
Yes. Election update.
That is our election update. We actually had one.
He's been projected to win his state Senate seat. But yeah, I'm not even sure. Like, we've spent too much time on this already. I'm not even sure what Tommy Tuberville championship barbecue sauce even means.
I don't know either. And he used it a lot, and he used it on Facebook too.
Yeah.
He used that phrase several times, and I'd never seen it before in my life until that day. And then I saw it a lot.
Not too much.
No.
I hope to never see it again, because I don't even know what that means.
We're not even huge fans of barbecue sauce, period.
No, good barbecue does not need sauce.
Where did that even come from?
All right. Guys, we'll catch you on the instant reaction. That'll do it this week for us on the 23 Personnel Podcast. Check us out, like I said, Saturdays 10 to noon on kkam.com. Talk 1340 AM. Or on the 1340 mobile app. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.